Welcome back to Planet Waves FM's live coverage, or continuing coverage, soon to be live, we'll get that figured out. Continuing coverage of the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. We have been speaking with lots of different people today, and we are about to have our first of two interviews on the subject of eclipses. My guest is Emma Courant from say the name of your city.
Ljubljana.
Yes, Ljubljana, yes. Slovenia.
Slovenia, yes.
Excellent. And your presentation on Sunday is called The Importance of Being Eclipsed. So you've done a lot of work with the eclipses. A subject near and dear to my heart. It's one of those obvious things. That's what I started with.
Well, many people think it's not that obvious. Usually people don't count them in when they interpret their birth charts, you know. But eclipses have to be... have to be taken into account. I have actually termed the word conatal eclipses, by which I mean those that eclipse. I mean solar and the accompanying lunar eclipses. But it's mainly the solar eclipse which is closest to one's birth. This can be a prenatal or postnatal eclipse, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to choose the one which is closest. And then, of course, we have total eclipses and partial eclipses. If there is, total eclipses are much stronger than partial. Once you find the eclipse, which can be easily found by using software like SolarFire, the latest.
Or you count, the days. You go in the ephemeris and you use the Julian day.
Well, you can, but SolarFire has a very nice option of, drawing a chart page, a page which has them. So that it's not that difficult to find them.
Right.
What you have to do, you just need to find the links. The links with your birth chart to the natal eclipse, conatal eclipse point. And conatal eclipse, ascendant, MC, and vertex and anti-vertex points, and see if any of your planets in your birth charts link with those points by exact aspects. And you have to actually work a lot on this and see if there are exact links. The planet that has an exact link, an exact aspect with the eclipse point or the node or the ascendant or MC of the eclipse chart, this planet becomes very strong in your chart. It becomes a very strong planet with a lot of focused energy. For example, if I can give you an example, that's one of the examples in my presentation, Brad Pitt, for example, who is the star.
Brad Pitt, yep.
Brad Pitt. His conatal eclipse, I don't remember whether it was prenatal or postnatal, but anyway, his conatal eclipse was on 23rd degree of Capricorn, and that's the exact degree of his natal Venus. And the moon is at 22 and a half Capricorn. So this powerful conjunction of his moon and
Venus
and
is Venus. Predicted, in a sense, by this,
yes,
by this eclipse near his...
that's it. And you'd never known, you'd never know this if you... didn't find...
Look at those eclipses
at
and
those
see
eclipses.
Where they were. Yes,
that's it. Yes.
Yeah, see, I think that eclipses are really underrated. I think that that we really need to work
that's
with them.
It.
And they last for years and years and years. They don't just
it's
go
true.
Away in
it's
6 months
true.
Or 2 years.
It's
they're
true.
They're
it's
active
I mean,
for
any
a long
eclipse,
time.
Any lunation, actually, new moon and full moon, any lunation is like a stamp in time. All the planetary positions at that exact time make an impression in
the Akashic record somewhere.
Yes, I find it a bit hard to find the exact words because I'm from Slovenia. Okay,
you can say it in Slovenian first, and then and then put it in English. You can just translate
I can
it.
Speak
we have
English,
a very large Slovenian readership.
Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, these eclipses, they make an impact, and it's like the time and the universe remembers those positions.
Yes.
So when we are born, we sort of resonate with that eclipse chart. And that's why it's so important to to incorporate. Is that the right expression? Mm-hmm. To incorporate them
into the work, yep.
into our interpretation of the birth chart.
Yep. And so it's especially true if you're missing a birth time. You can get some really good orientation by casting the perinatal eclipse with the location, because
that's
you have a time on the eclipse.
Yes, that's how I found the birth time of Michelle Obama. I think she was born about 7 and something p.m., just according to my eclipse research with her chart.
So it's a rectification tool as well.
Oh, yes. It could be. I mean, that would be a lot of work, but I haven't done it that much, but it could be, yes.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, but if you get an ascendant degree with that eclipse that starts talking to a natal planet right away, in the noon chart, for example, you have a clue what you're working with. I mean, it brings you closer. Noon charts work pretty well.
They do, because noon, that's another reference. I mean, the noon point, I mean, noon is, it's like a full moon, for example, chart, but that's another reference point, of course. That's the daily motion.
Yep.
And it's also a strong moment in time. It's a strong, you could say that the sunrise or the midday when the sun is exactly on MC, those could be two charts that could represent, you know, the whole energy wave of the whole day.
That's it. Well, there's a method called diurnal where you cast the chart for the birth time, the current chart for the birth time, and you see what's rising, where you advance the natal chart. There's different techniques. I prefer quotidian progressions because they are, there's a, the ascendant goes round once a year. Most people use Nibod, and I prefer quotidian because they are
Nibod
connected to sidereal time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I use secondary, I use solar arc in progression, with progressions.
Which is directions. It's not quite progressions.
No. You just progress MC according to true solar arc. That's how I do progressions.
Mm-hmm. So you don't do secondary progressions,
year. Those are secondary, day per year. But the MC value is not 1 degree per year, but it's true solar arc. You know,
right.
You know what?
That's not quite a degree per year. That's more like 0.98 or something like that.
That's it.
Got it.
Okay.
So let's see. So now we have in less than 2 weeks a very unusual, possibly completely unique for our epoch of history.
The Venus transit, you mean?
Yeah, combined with an eclipse of the moon, and then about 4 hours after the transit of Venus, there is an occultation of Pluto by the moon. So there's a cluster of three eclipse-like events within about 24 hours, one of which is blatantly rare. It's a 108-year type event. And then with a lunar eclipse the day before. I mean, it's just like there's a lot of buildup and fanfare around this. Have you got any thoughts about that?
No. I've been very much focused lately upon the November solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, because
it's close to the elections in the United States.
Yes, and it's going to be felt very powerfully in Europe. In Europe, I've written an article which came out in one of the latest NCGR member letters on the importance of that eclipse for the euro and the Greek debt. As you may know, we are in big trouble in Europe because
they didn't refinance, recapitalize.
The euro system just doesn't work. And the euro started to calculate as a the euro started to circulate as a currency in 1999, when there was a total solar eclipse in Europe, across Europe.
The 8/11/99 eclipse.
Right.
Before 9/11, there was 8/11. It was Europe went black. Birds went to bed.
That's it.
And everybody came out to see that one.
Okay.
Yes.
And that exactly was the year when the euro started to circulate.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the economists and astrologers alike, of course, we can see the connection. I mean, economists don't see the connection with the eclipse, of course. We do. But they have found that it was a bad, it was sort of speculation, you know. It was not a real thought out plan, financial plan. I mean, because the euro just doesn't work as it should. And that eclipse was very tense, very strong. It had a Mars-Saturn opposition in square to that eclipse point.
Within arc minutes. That was quite...
Oh, yes, yes. And those degrees were especially strongly activated in Greece, in the eclipse chart set for Greece.
I see.
Right?
Because it was angular? Because those mid-fixed signs were angular?
Yes, because MC... at 18 degrees Leo, and the eclipse point at 18 degrees Leo was in exact square of the ascendant descendant axis for Greece.
Yes.
And in eclipse work, you have to be very precise with the orbs. You have to have a 1 degree orbs.
Yes.
If you don't do that, then you just don't.
You don't know what to read. You need to focus down your priorities.
It. That's it.
And the degree of the eclipse. Mm-hmm, you're working with a 1 degree.
Yes. And what's really interesting is that that degree on the 12th of November, which is going to be a total solar eclipse, is taking place just 1 week after the elections here in America,
yes,
in United States elections, and those people who are acquainted with the work of John Drow and Bill Meridian, who wrote a very good book on eclipses, mm-hmm, which came out in 2010, know that any project that starts
on an eclipse
that is in a period like 10 to 14 days before the eclipse, is going to be like... It's not going to work. It's like a stillborn child, you know. Another astrological event is the Mercury retro, which starts exactly on November 6th.
In the middle of election day.
In the middle of the election day.
Like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something. It starts.
Well, what can we predict? I mean, what can we? Let's see.
Yeah.
Imagine
I'm looking for some intelligent opinions about
what
this.
What could happen is that what's going to happen will not be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Something unexpected will happen. This could mean that the media polls of the day before elections would say like, "Oh, Barack Obama is going to win," but what will happen? Mitt Romney is going to win,
mm-hmm,
which seems
right.
very likely.
You're saying there's a reversal of some kind.
A reversal of some kind. We had it's. I also wrote an article, also for the NCGR, on the elections in Slovenia, which were not presidential but parliamentary elections, which that was last autumn, yes, and it was exactly the same situation. Those elections took place in November, 1 week before the partial solar eclipse, or some 10 days before the partial solar eclipse, which was exactly on the ascendant for Ljubljana, our capital, right? That eclipse. And Mercury also turned retro on that day. It was exactly the same situation. And what happened was that everyone expected Mr. Janša, that's Democratic leader in our country, to win the polls. Because those were not regular polls, but pre-timely polls, you know? Pre-time, how do you call that in English? Before it's time.
Yes, not exit
elections
polls,
were due next year, but they had to
polling.
Take place 1 year before the regular elections.
Yes. Like primaries.
Okay, yes. Because of a very uncomfortable political situation in Slovenia and economic situation.
Right.
So everybody thought, well, Janša, he's going to win the election, it's natural. But what happened was that his opponent won the elections. Okay? And so everybody was sort of, oh, how could that be? I mean, that's impossible. That was against all the expectations. But what happened was that the guy who was elected couldn't get enough support in the parliament, you know, and then the situation became reversed very shortly, and Mr. Yansha is president now.
Which one? The Democratic? The one who was predicted to win. Then it looked like he lost, and then he got it.
That's it.
So we could have something where Obama's predicted to win, and then it looks like Romney wins, but then at the end of the Mercury retrograde, it reverses again.
Well, something like that. I don't know. I don't know if this is technically possible, you know, because I don't know the system in your country.
Well, there is none. It's 50 systems and the crazy electoral college.
Something crazy is likely going to happen according to my, I mean, my expectations.
It's weird. It's only the second time in American history that there's been a Mercury station on the day of a presidential election.
Okay.
So my friend Astrodem, who's a political consultant in Washington, D.C., so we call him Astrodem, did the math on this, and he contrasted a chart of every U.S. presidential election. We did not look at midterm elections. All we cared about was presidential elections, and he researched that, and he compared it with the days of all the Mercury stations, and only two hits have come up, the election day in 2000, when Gore won the election, and then Bush took office. And then the second one is going to be the election of 2012, 12 years later, only twice.
Okay.
That's pretty special. We've got a fairly long history now, 250-ish years or something like that, 240-year-old country. And it's only happened once so far and then a second time on... Now, were you saying something about you thought maybe there might not be an election? Did you ask us that yesterday?
No, but I would, you know, I research an Eastern method of... Fates, you know, if you've heard of Nine Star Ki, Kigaku.
Yes. Well, that's Michio Kaku?
No, that's... Kigaku, ki energy.
Okay.
It's what did I say? It's a system of fates. I researched the history of U.S. presidential elections, and according to my research, it's somehow impossible that Barack Obama would win these elections, because the year 2012 doesn't align with his fate.
Right.
But it, I mean, it looks like a better year for Mitt Romney, who is also quite strongly supported by this eclipse of May 20th and by the next eclipse.
Right.
His birth chart is very much supported because this year his conatal eclipses are being activated. They are on the same degrees as his conatal eclipses, which is very special. People, when they experience their conatal eclipse reactivation, you know, those years tend to be extremely important in their lives.
Right.
So. That's it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, awesome. Great presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you have all my admiration for having English as your second language, and you're perfectly articulate.
I think I need to have another 14 days or something to get used to, you know, to... I can write in English.
Listen to
no
us fast-talking sons of bitches here in the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
we're always trying to sell you something.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Okay, fantastic. So we've been talking to Emma Courant from Slovenia, my favorite country in the entire world. Well, just kidding. But
are you a Gemini?
You know, it
for
was
the half
one
hour?
Of those countries that wasn't a country when I was born. You know, it was like that's part of the old USSR, right? Or Slovakia.
Oh, No, part of ex-Yugoslavia.
Yes, right. It was the other.
Yes.
But then wasn't Yugoslavia part of the USSR?
Well,
or is
that,
it not
that's what
quite,
American says.
American,
you say, that there was another guy who said, like, but then I said, no, we're never part of the Soviet Union. And he said, well, but they controlled you.
Client state. We were always told, oh, it's a client state. It's a client state.
Because,
you know, the Kremlin, you know, they have puppet strings and everywhere. Like, even, like, Georgia was a puppet state. But it was the other Georgia.
Okay.
Just kidding. There.
Yes, that's...
Alrighty. So, thank you once again.
Thank you.
And if you're at UAC, you can hear Emma's presentation on Sunday at noon, right? These are in the free speech rooms.
Yes.
Which I've been calling the STFU rooms, just to... bitch slap them a little bit. All right.
Okay.
So you've been listening to Planet Waves FM. My name is Eric Francis, and we're concluding this interview at about 22 minutes past 4 o'clock on May 25th, 2012, Friday afternoon here on the really what is the first full actual day of the conference. Yesterday was still pre-conference playing around, and Wednesday was pre-conference playing around, so we've just finally gotten rolling today. And we've got two more interviews ahead, Gary Caton and then, oh, Susie as well. Oh, look at that. I went through this once before. And then Melanie Reinhart a little bit later in the afternoon. So we've got lots in store for you. Our technician is Sarah Bissonette Adler. Music you're listening to is by Yasa. Once again, thanks for tuning in. Hey, don't forget to tweet this page. Tell people about this. We've made a big production to get all of our stuff here in this awesome little portable internet radio station. Thanks for doing that. Back in a little while.